Welcome to the Real Estate Briefing, conversations with experts and insiders. I'm your host, Jen Hill, a real estate enthusiast with over 30 years experience navigating the market's highs and lows across various asset classes. This podcast dives into the world of real estate, bringing you exclusive insights from top industry leaders, from Binswanger's board of experts, as well as your colleagues. From asset-specific considerations to market trends to portfolio strategies to optimizing transactions, we unpack what's driving value for clients today and tomorrow. For the third episode of the Real Estate Briefing, Tim Lay of THL Consulting joins me to talk about supply chain and real estate optimization. Tim is a member of Binswanger's Board of Experts and founded THL after a 40-year career, including over 20 years with the Hershey Company. Tim, thanks for being on the podcast. While you are based in Pennsylvania, I know that you've traveled extensively for work. So tell me, do you have a travel ritual or something that you do to get in the mood when you're traveling?
Yeah, first and foremost, thank you all for having me and appreciate being on the podcast. And some of the rituals that I typically follow is certainly getting the right amount of sleep, as you traveled abroad quite extensively in Malaysia and China, and did a fair amount of travel in Mexico as well. The Malaysia and China travels can be very exhausting and adjusting to time zones, so that sleep ritual is very important. The other important thing is that I found as being a ritual is taking a lot of notes about the country, not only from a real estate perspective, but from a what some of their culture is. How do you shake hands? How do you kind of introduce yourself? How do you make yourself feel like you're part of the culture prior to entering the country?
I love those. And I will say number one is the most important thing. I one time did a 36-hour trip to Australia. So I was in the air for longer than I was on the ground. And I spent about half of it sleeping because I really needed to make sure that I was able to function for the week after that. And it's tough if you don't get a good night's sleep. So you finished your corporate career at the sweetest place on earth. Can you share how you started your career and how did you end up leading real estate for the Hershey Company?
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. The career, as Jennifer mentioned earlier, this has been, you know, a 40-year career, 20 years with Hershey. How I first started out with Hershey was in construction procurement. That actually kind of paved the way for me in commercial real estate, because I had worked with the construction team, which was engineering in both on the civil and structural side, as well as process and packaging. So not only with the exterior walls, but also the interior of the building. And then I had an extensive experience working with the R&D and innovation labs and kind of working strongly with them. We came to a point where we had to optimize our portfolio. So there were some properties we had to shed and then some others that we had to update our manufacturing to the state-of-the-art manufacturing for flexible lines, easier shifts, so we can meet consumer demand. So I was in charge there of a business development role. How do we right-size the business? So I was doing a lot of traveling in the U.S. at that time, as well as internationally. And then ultimately, once we got that right-sized, then I was looked at as being director of global real estate for the Hershey Company, and responsible for all the warehousing, manufacturing, and office, as well as facilities management, along with construction project management as well. So those are some of the areas that led me to this career path of commercial real estate.
Great. So here's the most serious question you're going to get in this episode. What is your favorite Hershey's candy?
Yeah, by far, it's the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Good call.
So that's... That's certainly a staple for me.
Yeah, there was a right answer to that question, by the way, and you got it. Good job. So I want to turn now to your background, and let's dive a little deeper into your role at Hershey. So can you talk to us a little bit about the scope of your role at the Hershey Company and describe for our listeners a few of the projects about which you are most proud from that time?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role consisted of both land acquisition, for sure, whether that be green or brownfield, It also consisted of disposition of properties and was responsible for that. As working for Hershey, you not only had to acquire property, but you also had to look at shedding some properties as well.
Sure.
Construction procurement was one of that areas of scope of responsibility, as well as project management. Some of the most important projects, I would think, and ones that I'm very proud of, is certainly the Malaysia factory was huge. I actually purchased the land in Malaysia, which was quite different than purchasing land here in the US. That was done as a 99-year leasehold
Oh,
property,
wow.
which is kind of unique in and of
Yeah.
itself. That was exciting. That was a property that was about 700,000 square feet, so it's quite large. And not only responsible for purchasing the land, but also working with the construction team to build it, both from an exterior and interior perspective as well. The next one that was very exciting to me is Milton Hershey. As many of you know, was the founder of the Hershey Company. We had a building that was his first manufacturing plant that was built in 1905.
Oh, wow.
And it operated as a manufacturing facility until about the year 2000. And in 2000, we wanted to automate. So we realized that was called the 19 East Chocolate Avenue facility, the one that was built in 1905. We needed to either find a way to repurpose it, which we know we needed to do because it was so iconic, and we did that. We took a facility that was approximately 550,000 square feet, so that was quite large, and we made it into the state-of-the-art corporate office complex. So now that office complex runs with the full gym, runs with the full cafe, runs with soccer ball fields. It gives you an opportunity to look at shared spaces and have collaboration sites, and it houses over 1,000 employees.
Well, that's amazing. I also love the fact that when you go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, I spent a lot of time in Hershey for hockey and soccer tournaments. And when you go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, everything is all the streets are named after Hershey candies or the Hershey Company. So wouldn't it be lovely to work on Chocolate Avenue? That would be really fulfilling from my standpoint. So I love that aspect. So turning out your background is fascinating because you've got expertise in both supply chain and commercial real estate. So tell me how do you think that's unique, and how does having expertise in one support your work in the other?
Yeah, the uniqueness of that with supply chain and commercial real estate, I think the two actually do certainly become one. The key things you need to kind of think about is the external and internal operations excellence of supply chain and commercial real estate. And when you marry those two together, it actually helps you to control cost and make sure the site is fully operational. And I think more specifically, when you look at the external dynamics of supply chain and how it fits into commercial real estate, it's about understanding transportation modes. And it's understanding where, if you have a lot of bulk materials coming in, are you near rail? If you have a lot of activity going into major urban areas, how are the interstates? Are the interstates conducive to commercial trucking? And are you near ports? So for the Hershey Company, one of our main ingredients is cocoa beans. So we have to be near some major ports. So the East Coast actually helps us do that, coming into those ports to get those cocoa beans and then ultimately transport those by rail. So when you're in that commercial real estate place and working in CPG companies, that's a huge concern with CPGs. And then the other thing internally, what supply chain is really all about that helps commercial real estate out significantly is the optimization flow. How are things going to flow in? How are things going to flow out to get to the warehousing? Do you have enough ceiling height within the building to take care of automation and make sure you have clear span so you can put the automated storage and retrieval systems in place. And then quick changeovers are the key thing today internally to meet consumer demand. So if the Reese's peanut butter cups are selling very quickly over the holidays this season, how do we make more of them? Do we have to stop a line and convert another line to make Reese's peanut butter cups so can we meet consumer demand, which will drive revenue, which will drive margins, which will drive profit? So those are some of the things how you can certainly marry the two together to become uniquely as they become one.
Yeah, one of my signature holiday cookies includes Hershey's Kisses, so it's the peanut butter blossom. So
Nice.
you can't make those without the Hershey's Kiss, or it's just a peanut butter cookie. So that's great. Let's turn to THL Consulting, and you founded the firm after obviously a strong career. Why did you want to go into consulting, and what do you want to offer to your clients?
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. The key for me is just making sure I can continue to contribute, and helping firms such as Binswanger Wagner succeed and be part of their terrific company. And that 40 years of plus experience and 20 years with the Hershey, I certainly feel that I can benefit, clients by doing that and work with Binswanger Wagner to accomplish that. I think the value that I can bring is I've sat on both sides. I sat on both sides with brokerage companies, kind of partnering with brokerage companies on the acquisition side, and then those that we were actually working for to acquire the land or acquire a particular building. So I have that experience that I feel I can bring to the table. And then also, I like the strategic side of it, being able to see how we can successfully satisfy clients, how we can drive revenue, how we can make sure their bottom line results are where they need to be. And commercial real estate's a huge part of that. And I feel that with these deal opportunities, that it certainly can be a win-win. So that's why I had gotten back into the consulting aspects of my company.
I love that. And so, can you walk us through the specific services that your firm offers and the value that those services provide to clients?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the key areas that that experience piece of it, being a leader in the CPG space with the Hershey Company, some of the specific services are certainly within the consulting area, supply chain and commercial real estate. Again, the emphasis would be on the acquisitions and dispositions, knowing how corporate clients need to be kind of always looking at their real estate and making sure they're running as optimal as they possibly can. No idle facility. We talked about like always being at 75% capacity within manufacturing. And when you're not at that, do you need to shield? When you get above that, do you need to add? So those things I feel that I can bring value to clients. And then making sure that we achieve the client's goals. It's all about achieving the goals for the client and making sure that we can enhance the bottom line for those clients. So those are things that I feel that I can bring.
That's great. So let's say a broker's meeting with their client, and what kind of discussion should they be listening for? What questions might arise that might indicate that THL would be well positioned to engage with that specific client?
The key discussions that I think are pertaining to specific needs and understanding their needs. I want to pause there because I think that's so important. When you sit across the table with your client and you're discussing what their needs are, do you understand what they're discussing? Right. And hopefully you can really relate to what they need and then bring something forward that would be an extreme amount of benefit to them. And kind of marry that supply chain and that commercial real estate opportunity. The other thing I think is so important that you have to know the business and what the business does. Because coming into that call and just thinking, well, we're just going to do this land deal, we know nothing about the company, kind of researching the company, getting knowing the company, kind of understanding their dynamics, understanding their leadership, kind of what they're looking for, can really help in driving success in commercial real estate.
I love that. It was interesting when you were talking about making sure that you understand what they're talking about. I can imagine that there are certain situations where the supply chain for a CPG company is very different than the supply chain for, as an example, an automotive company. And so I think it would be valuable for brokers as they're going into a meeting with a CPG company to make sure that they connect with you or another member of the board of experts with expertise in CPG supply chain who can help them even just prepare for the meeting and have that first conversation around what should I be looking for? What signals should I be listening for? Before they walk into that first meeting with the client or a meeting with an existing client where the topic is really on the manufacturing space associated with the CPG company. So I love that idea. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we learn from each other, right? Through that engagement. I mean, the key that I always thought that I've always have reached out to people in supply chain planning. I've always reached out to people in the area of process and packaging. Got to know what the equipment is. What is the process equipment? Where is the packaging equipment? What does it do? How are we automating facilities today? I think that area of opportunity is helpful to understand commercial real estate. And then the other piece of it, I think, is through the, but for myself, with 40 plus years experience and 20 plus years in Hershey, I have some key contacts that I can bring opportunities to Binswanger to help them grow their portfolio and help them achieve their goals and objectives within their company. And it is about partnership, and certainly reaching out, I think, is huge, both ways, and how we can complement one another, I think, is extremely beneficial. And working closely with brokers, I certainly can understand kind of what their interests are and how they need to proceed, and then how we can strengthen these relationships to make sure it's a huge win for the Binswanger company.
I love that thinking about that approach. As we talk about Binswanger specifically, you joined the board of experts earlier this year, and you have actually brought a few opportunities to the Binswanger team based on the relationships that you have within the industry. So, can you tell me a little bit about what you would recommend to our Binswanger friends who are approached by a member of the board of experts with an opportunity to work with a company within their network?
Yes, thanks, Jennifer. I think the key to kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, the value I think is so important. It's kind of the value proposition that we can bring together as a team with the Binswanger colleagues and the board of experts, and how we enhance that value proposition for the client. I think that's huge. It actually helps, one, the client understand that these people really kind of working on this project really have their act together and be able to develop the results that we need as a company. I've been in several meetings throughout my career that, talking with various brokers and people that I've been associated with, they didn't understand the business, right? And understanding the business to me was huge. It's kind of looking out what we needed. And when you engage with a broker that totally understands your business, you feel you can go even one step further towards operational excellence, where it's not only about the acquisition of the property or the build of the property through construction management, but interior, when I start operating that building, that's where I really have to have that operational efficiency and bring that all together. So I think that's the huge win that happens with this engagement.
I love that. And when we think about, for example, if you bring an opportunity or member of the board of experts brings an opportunity to the team at Binswanger. I think there's value then in having that member of the board of experts then review the pitch, or maybe do a role play on the pitch and walk through with them, or if there's a written proposal, review the written proposal, because you can infuse some of those industry terms that would be clearly demonstrating that Binswanger understands not only the real estate aspects, but the business and operational aspects of that industry or that sector. And really being able to pull through the relationship into any materials that are coming forward by understanding what their priorities and the priorities and the approach of the contact that you've brought into Binswanger as an opportunity. So I see a lot there.
It's not only making the engagement and just doing the handoff, right? It's more a collaboration piece where it has to carry all the way through, and
Absolutely.
right, that has to do with, participating on calls. It has to do with reviewing RFPs once they're completed. Do you see any pitfalls, or do you see anything that we should enhance to make this more attractive for the client? What can we do to improve the RFP? What can we do to win this business? Is there anything in here that really stands out that we should highlight?
Yeah.
Those, I think, are the key. Just dropping it off from an engagement point of view and then just taking it forward, I think you lose that dynamic with the board of experts trying to add value where we can and be able to help and assist where we can. And likewise, learning from others too, learning from Binswanger colleagues to help us understand that this is the best delivery method and it can work both ways. And I think it can
Yeah.
work both ways extremely well.
So, no, that's great. So, Tim, as you're talking about your role with the Board of Experts, I'd love for you to put yourself in your former role and share with us what issues should Binswanger brokers expect that are top of mind for real estate decision makers today in the food and beverage sector, specifically, or manufacturing more broadly.
Yeah, that's a huge undertaking for sure, because you really have to marry the two together, as we talked earlier, with supply chain and commercial real estate. One of the things that I think in my former role that I really had to embrace is I really had to understand manufacturing operations, warehouse operations, and even office and tenant relationships on how you want those spaces configured. And we've worked really tirelessly on understanding that even before we went out for commercial real estate acquisitions. We certainly weren't out there looking and then figuring out what we had to do later. That would have been chaotic, right? We would have had a certainly a dismal operation if we went that path. Some of the things that we've mentioned earlier, understanding client specific needs, it's really important to ask that question. If they're
Yeah.
not bringing it across, ask the client, what are your specific needs? Not just with commercial real estate, but operationally, what are you looking for? And that's broad. That could be not only with CPGs, but in industry broad. What are your pinch points? Where do we need to solve for? How can we make this operation better? What are you looking for? Right? But you need to bring some of that to them, because they're going to say, well, we're kind of doing your job for you, right? So you
Yeah.
have to understand what those specific needs are and hope they're bringing them out. If not, ask the questions. Are you concerned about ceiling height that we talked about earlier? What's your clear span width that you're looking for? So once they understand, you know what they're asking for, they feel that they can bring more, meaning the company that they're working with, such as Binswanger, more to the table. And then the other piece that I found in my former role, it transcends. It transcends not only from an acquisition perspective, but it also transcends into construction management and project management, and then making sure you have the right fit out and finishes, especially both in manufacturing and office tenancies, are really huge. And bringing that to the client that you can even turnkey a contingent situation is huge. So those are things that really I have learned in my formal role for sure.
I love that. And and when I always like to think about not only what the company's priorities are to your first point, but not only what the company's priorities are, but what that individual sees as success for themselves professionally. Because if they are being measured on cost savings, or they are being measured on the ability to deliver a project quickly, knowing that makes a big difference in knowing how to approach an engagement with that individual. And if you can make your individual client successful, it's really powerful in being able to build a longer term relationship that goes beyond a single project. So I love that. I love that idea. So Tim, I've really enjoyed this conversation about THL and about your career. And I know you've listened to the other episodes of the podcast, so you know I like to close with a few rapid questions. So first, what do you see as the biggest headwinds and tailwinds in real estate for manufacturing companies in general, and again, the food and beverage sector specifically?
Yeah, so we'll kind of start with headwinds. So some of the headwinds that I know have been really challenged is this whole tariff situation, right?
Sure.
Huge, huge headwind. And most recently, we've probably heard that the President of the United States have started now to relax some of those tariffs, which is a plus to kind of get rid of some of those headwinds. So specifically for Hershey, and this could be for many CPG companies, you see now the cocoa's been removed on tariffs, which is huge for the cocoa beans. There's no other place you can grow those cocoa beans than the Ivory Coast or Ghana. And I mean, we've experimented in Hawaii and tried to do that in the US, and the climate's just not right. So, and then you see where, you're looking at coffee and tea, he's backing off on that tariff because prices are really challenging. And it's presenting a lot of economic uncertainty, not only for businesses to acquire real estate because of this economic uncertainty, but for the people that are buying the product, right? Because of the economy. So, you see things like he's relaxing on bananas, he's relaxing on avocados, he's oranges, he's tomatoes. He's relaxing off of those tariffs to kind of help food prices settle rather than being so high. High interest rates are another huge headwind. Cost of construction and materials, I think there is where you really need to do your homework. Being involved in construction procurement is key. So those are a few of the headwinds that I see both in the CPG space. Some of the tailwinds I think that are really important are people that are companies that are faced with these headwinds on tariffs are really struggling to continue to do business internationally. So how much they can look to reshore or nearshoring, which is a supply management term, how do you bring it maybe back to the US, or maybe you bring it nearer to Canada or to Mexico and see where your ingredients and sourcing is, or maybe even your maintenance, repair, and operating supplies are being purchased. How can you bring that back? And you avoid those geopolitical tensions, typically that are in some of those other countries as well, when you can accomplish that reshoring and nearshoring. Those are opportunities for commercial real estate coming into play. The other ones I feel that are really important for CPG space is this whole e-commerce growth, right? That you see today where you're seeing concepts now that are called last mile consideration. So the commercial real estate industry now is being faced with smaller and more strategic fulfillment centers, because when people want it and order it online, they're expecting it either certainly by tomorrow or the next day, right? If it's groceries or whatever it is that they're procuring on a food item, right? They want to make sure the shopping experience is more beneficial than them going to the store themselves, right? So bringing it to your front doorstep in a day or two is a huge win for the consumer. So the opportunity there for commercial real estate is huge, especially in urban areas,
Yeah.
right? It really needs to take place. So those are a few of the headwinds and tailwinds that right now I think that are really impacting the CPG space.
Yeah, a lot to unpack with all of that, and I'm sure we could do a whole episode on just each of those alone. So next question, what three words would you use to describe what we should expect from the real estate sector in the next 12 months?
Yeah, three words. So,
That's not a challenge or anything, right? Just to come up with three words.
yeah, I think one is certain flexibility.
Sure.
That's a word, but it's flexibility with your client, right?
Yep.
Kind of knowing how you can help your client, and you have to have that flexibility. I think in CPG space and more so broader in industry is automation. I have the mindset for automation, especially when you're talking about supply chain and in those interior walls. You see a lot coming on with robotics. You see a lot coming on with AI. You see all those types of technologies kind of looking at how do we make the product more inviting for the consumer, meaning how do we keep prices down? And the hope that is the automation will help that. With labor shifts are huge with being able to kind of shift labor from more manual labor to more skilled automated workers. So an upskill of the current employee base, not to lose employees, but to upskill them so they can handle the automation to hope to bring costs down. So mindset of automation. So automation, another keyword, and just one of the I put down the word here. It's smarter, but it's really just to know your customer, and who you're interfacing with is huge. Bringing back some of the things we previously talked about. So those would be the three: smarter, flexible, and automation.
Love it. I love it. So, as you know, I like to close the podcast with a question about your advice. So, after your phenomenal career, what one piece of advice would you give young people at the start of their careers?
Yeah, I think it's about being diligent. It's about doing the homework that you need to do and to be real thorough in that process. Know your industry. There are many different types of CPG companies out there. Industry overall is very complex. It's something that we all have to kind of embrace and kind of learn about the industry and learn as much as we possibly can, and being willing to engage. You learn from others and vice versa. I think when you share that information amongst your colleagues and being able to reach out and provide this as a resource, it's a win. It's a win for myself. It's a win for Binswanger. And I think it just adds value to those that are kind of just starting out in their careers to reach out and just be engaged.
Yeah, thank you for that. When you were mentioning diligence, that reminded me of one of my dad's favorite sayings, which is the harder you work, the luckier you get. And it sounds like you've been pretty darn lucky with your career. So I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the podcast. Sincerely, thank you for joining us. I'd loved hearing about your background and the work that you are still undertaking with clients through THL, and I look forward to hearing more about your work with the Binswanger Board of Experts. So thank you, Tim. So to you listeners, as always, thank you so much for joining us for the real estate briefing. Please be in touch with Tim as you have opportunities to engage on supply chain or real estate initiatives on behalf of your clients. We would love your feedback on this episode and to hear about what topics would interest you for future episodes. Email me at jhill@binswanger.com with episode ideas or thoughts on today's topic. And please join us next time.